Some of you may have heard in the news this past year that Pope Francis, among the many things that he has done in the news this year, has changed the rules about feet washing. And there's good reason why. Foot washing was normally reserved for a Gentile, that is a non-Jew slave, or at least somebody of lower status in the Jewish culture, perhaps a child or at least the woman of the house. Nothing against women, that was a long time ago. So it's particularly significant that Jesus, who is the Messiah, chooses to wash the feet of his disciples, that he chooses to take that lowly place. And there's a twofold meaning in it, one that in the church's rubrics, we used to have men up here only. The other meaning of it, tonight you will see lay people of both genders, emphasizing a different meaning. One of those meanings is that it was a great act of humility. He's taking off his outer garment, puts on a towel, and appears to act as a slave. And if you think about that for a minute, put yourself into the shoes of one of the apostles sitting there, and Jesus comes to you, maybe even like Peter tonight in our gospel, and Jesus comes up to you, and he puts himself in the position of a slave and comes before you wanting to treat you like the master. How would that make you feel? Jesus wants to be your slave. How does that make you feel? As we wash the feet of our brothers and sisters tonight, it is a great act of humility, not only for the one who washes, but for the one who receives. But it is also a demonstration of what we call servant leadership. And this is why we used to, many times, only have men present at the foot washing, to represent the 12 apostles. And how the hierarchy of the church is supposed to function. Many people think of the Catholic Church and often perceive it as a bunch of white men, white old men, white-haired old men, thank you very much, in Rome, telling us what to do. But notice what Jesus says to his first apostles. He says in Matthew 23, "As for you, do not be called rabbi. You have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father, you have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master, for you have one master, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be your servant." In Mark 10 and Matthew 20, he summons them and says to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them." They hold their power over the Gentiles' heads. Like, just make me mad and look what I'll do to you. "And their great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you must be the servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all." Jesus is practicing what he preaches as he washes his disciples' feet. In Mark 9, he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." One of the titles of our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is the servant of the servants of God, meaning he's the servant of everyone else. So in the Catholic hierarchy, the higher you get, the more of a slave you are. But brothers and sisters, each one of us, no matter whether we are part of the Catholic hierarchy or not, we are all called to be servant leaders, parents in your homes, to be, in a sense, slaves to your children. Now, that doesn't mean, kids, that you can go up to your parents and say, "Get me ice cream now." That's not what we're talking about. But with humility, to serve your child when particularly they're in need. And so many of you parents do this so well. I remember my mom sitting with me as I'd have the flu, holding the bowl, and gosh, we used it for cooking too. And just rubbing your back, saying, oh, it'll be okay. Man, that's servant leadership, isn't it? When a little kid comes in at night and wakes you from a dead sleep. Mommy, I'm thirsty. Servant leadership. When your child messes up at school and you really just want to let them have it, but you sit them down, and you have to find that delicate balance between love and truth. When you have to let them know that this isn't permissible, but you don't want them to go away thinking they're not loved. Servant leadership. In our jobs, when we're put in charge of somebody, but we don't boss them around, we try to work with them to promote their skills, to help them grow, to be a servant leader to those that we're in charge of. And lastly, our church. Many of us are given different positions, different titles, different responsibilities, but we are all brothers and sisters, all servants of one another. Now, it is further significant that Jesus washes all of the apostles' feet. Why? Because one of those apostles whose feet he would wash, one of those he would go up to and put himself before him as a slave would what? Turn around and betray him. I mean, if you knew what Judas was going to do, and it's clear that Jesus had at least some idea, would you want to wash that guy's feet? I mean, think about it this way. If you're married, if you knew your spouse was going to cheat on you, would you want to serve him dinner that night? I mean, that's a fair analogy for our time. And yet, that is the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. That's how much he does want to serve us. That even in our sin, even in our depravity, he comes before us, humiliating himself before us. And he serves those who betray him. And not just Judas. Because who else is going to betray him? Peter. I tell you, Peter, before this night is over, you will deny me three times. Oh, no, I won't, Lord. I would go to death for you. And the cock crowed. And here Jesus is serving 12 sinners. One, the leader of the 12, the first pope who would betray him. One, the snitch, who sold him out for 30 silver pieces and then went and hung himself. And he treats them with the same servitude, the same humility. And brothers and sisters, we are called to do the same. You know, the difference between a sinner and a saint is not the absence of sin. And by that, I don't mean we stop striving to not sin and just give in. But we're all sinners. It's always our goal to be sinless. But the difference is whether you let Jesus wash your feet. The difference is whether you let God serve you, especially in your brokenness, and to cleanse you through his sacraments. And it is required. Guys, we cannot get to heaven unless we let Jesus do this for us. Peter even objects. He says, no, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. I'm sorry, Peter, if you don't, you can't go to heaven. You have no part in me. Well, then please, Lord, wash all of me. We object because we're too prideful. And yet all Jesus wants to do is sit there and serve us. We so often get caught up in the idea of what we need to do to serve God. And that is right and just for us to think about. God has given us so many gifts. It is a steward's response to recognize where that comes from and give it back to his church. But one thing we often neglect that goes right with it, hand in hand with it, is not just that we serve God, that he came to serve us. And that's actually where it starts. If we start with what we're doing to serve God, we're going to get off on the wrong track. We have to first start with what God has done to serve us. 12 of you in this congregation tonight will come forward to have your feet washed by a priest of Jesus Christ. But each of us, in some way, must not only allow Jesus to do this for us, but we must do it for one another. To place ourselves below others, not above. To be servant leaders to everyone we encounter, no matter what our vocation is. And to respond to Jesus' example by submitting ourselves humbly to the mercy of God, by being washed clean through these Easter sacraments.